الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر استغفر. اللهم اشفع لنا.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. My brothers, I want to begin by thanking mashallah the masjid, the wonderful qari at the back who's joined us, and of course the sheikh mashallah who's going to be giving us a wonderful talk this evening. But before we get to that, I have a very short reminder for you, my beloved brothers. You see, alhamdulillah, 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 the days of Dhul Hijjah are upon us. The days of Dhul Hijjah are upon us. And unfortunately, my brothers, in the modern era, the modern Muslim is not aware of how beautiful, how sacred these days truly are, because we think that if, unless you're doing Hajj, it's another day. Subhanallah, can you believe it? Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, told us that these days are, that good deeds done in these days are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other days. Ulama have taken that from that, they have said that other than the nights of Ramadan, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are the most beloved to Allah. What a beautiful thing, wallahi, what a beautiful thing, my brothers. And I know that because of this, every single one of us is going to strive to do more in these 10 days, no? We're going to make sure that we celebrate these days as they're meant to be done. We're going to fast, we're going to pray extra nafil, we're going to donate to charity, whether it's your zakah, whether it's your sadaqah, whatever it may be. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, I spoke to an imam that was doing dars here before, and I asked him really briefly, because it's been about 9 or so weeks since Ramadan, and I asked him, you know, in my local masjid, we've had quite a few janazas since then. Quite a few. And I asked, roughly how many has the masjid had? And he told me 6, 7 or so. In 9 weeks, that's almost one janazah every 2 weeks, subhanallah. since the days of Ramadan in, what, 2 months ago? And when I think of this, and I think, my brothers, we have to make the most of Dhul Hijjah. We have to make the most, because just as Ramadan finished and we prayed our Eid Salah, Dhul Hijjah was not promised to us, the next Ramadan is not promised to us. So let's please make the most of this. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And yet, despite being here and despite being glad and happy that I get to speak to you about Dhul Hijjah, I still come, my beloved brothers, with a heavy heart. With a very heavy heart. Because if I could take you, my brothers, back to October 2023, and I told you then what you know now about what happened in Gaza, every single one of you would rush to me and say, Raheel, what can we do? Raheel, can we do more? Because every single one of you is in the same position as me. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ told us that the ummah is like one body. When one part of it hurts, the entirety of the ummah feels it. Wallahi, I've never seen this more true than when it comes to Gaza. Because if I told you, you didn't have to see Yazan again, every single one of you would give food so that he could eat. When I told you you could do something so that you never had to hear Hind's voice on that recording, every single one of you would come forward and do something. And wallahi, my brothers, the one that always gets me, the one that always pains me, is if I could tell you that there was something you could do so that Uncle Khalid would not have to hold Reem and call her the soul of his soul, every single one of you would rush forward and do something. And all of that started with something very, very basic and something that we have seen for the last 75 years. It came with leaflets dropping from the sky as an evacuation notice. Flee now because we're coming. Flee now because we're coming. That evacuation notice was given to the people of Lebanon halfway through Ramadan. The people of Lebanon were told, flee now because we're coming, because the occupier couldn't care less. Wallahi, they couldn't care less. You know what has happened in Gaza since that last evacuation notice. So you know what is to come to Lebanon since they received their evacuation notice. Every single one of you does not want to repeat of what happened in Gaza. I mentioned earlier that there has been 6-7 janazas in this masjid since Ramadan. A friend of mine, subhanAllah, his family was in southern Lebanon as they fled during Ramadan. And I had a conversation with him earlier today just to ask, because I was curious. And he told me from his village and the surrounding villages, since Ramadan, they average 30 janazah a week. 30 janazah a week. Because leaflets fell from the ground, because there was a Twitter announcement, because the Muslims are asleep and they're forgotten. This is why in these days of Dhul Hijjah, my brothers, when we rush to do good, I need you to do good for me. I need you to do good. Because as I look around the masjid and I see my elders, my brothers, the youngsters, alhamdulillah, I know there's one thing that every single one of us understands and agrees. Because the people of this masjid, you already know about the might of Al-Jabbar. You already know that Al-Ghani will give more than we could ever imagine. And you know better than me the mercy of Ar-Rahman. You know in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and everything we've been taught from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that Jannah is easy. And this is why every single one of us strives for Al-Firdaus. Because we know how easy it is to enter Jannah, we need to be at the best. And I know for this reason that there are people in this masjid right now that can't wait. They can't wait to do everything they can to be in Al-Firdaus, to get an opportunity to speak to Adam alayhi salam and ask him, Ya Adam, what was it like? How did it feel when you, what did you see in Dawood when you gave him 40 years of your life? To ask Nuh alayhi salam how it felt, the frustration when he spoke to his ummah. To ask Musa what made him so confident when he asked Allah to help him with Harun because of his stutter. To ask Isa ibn Maryam how it felt, what his people did with his legacy, to be there with the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to ask him how it felt when the boycott was happening. The pleasure, the rejoicement of Badr, the disappointment of Uhud, the fear at Al-Ahzab, and the peace and mercy and comfort that he received when Allah gave him the ayah that on this day, this religion is completed for you. And he knew that now the hardships of this world are over, and that he will return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And because I know every single one of you in the masjid here knows this today, I asked my brothers, who is going to be the first person to put their hand up and decide that they want to remove some hardship from the people of Lebanon? Because you see, the people of Barakah charity that are here today, they specialize in their work in Lebanon. The zakah is 100% donation policy, and they have specialized in that area for so long that from the very beginning of this onslaught in Lebanon, they mobilized schools, hospitals, they made sure there was space for people, they made sure there was food, and this is why I'm here today, because there's nothing more important at the moment in Lebanon than food. So I ask my beloved brothers, who is going to be the first one? And wallahi, I always make dua for the first person to put their hand up for a donation, because you know, I genuinely hope from the bottom of my heart that the first one who motivates everyone gets the reward of everyone that follows them. 50 people inside of Lebanon is £2,000. That's £166 a month. So I ask my beloved brothers, who's going to be the first one to decide that, yes, I want to be in Al-Firdaus, I want to be in the highest of ranks, to put their hand up and provide food for 50 people for whom, wallahi, if it was not for Ummati Muhammad, no one else would care. And the beauty of this, my brothers, is that it's very, very simple. You put your hand up, and no one is asking you to donate right now. If you want to, bismillah, what we're asking from you is your niyyah. We want you to perfect that intention, to make the niyyah, to do good, and then to work hard to say, and Allah will take care of everything else. So who will be the first one, my brothers, to put their hand up to fill in for? Alhamdulillah, brother at the front, takbir! Allahu Akbar, wallahi, it's always the brother at the front of, that makes the first decision, that wallahi motivates the ones. Is that a hand up, my brother? A brother on the left, takbir! Louder, my brothers, takbir! Allahu Akbar. Can I get a third, inshallah? You know, in the interest of time, we have a very packed program. I'm not going to ask more than three more times. Is there a third brother, inshallah, my beloved brothers, willing to put their hand up to fill in a form, to do everything they can between now and the end of the year, between now and the end of Dhul Hijjah, between now and Ramadan, with their community, with their friends, with their family, with their masjid, with their colleagues from work? Have a discussion with your wife and do what you can. Anyone from the sadaqah, zakah, that wants to give £166 a month, one more person, inshallah. For the final time of asking, alhamdulillah, my beloved brothers, is there one more person willing to do it? I believe that is a third, so I will not ask again. Can I please get takbir? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My brothers, whenever we do this, because I have a few minutes left, I want to make it as easy as possible, and I want as many people as possible to get involved. For £1,000, you can feed 25 families inside of Lebanon. What that means, my brothers, is that for £88 a month, £84 a month, you can provide for, subhanAllah, 25 families, average of 6 people per family, which maths is not my strong suit, I will not ask. And all that takes is to fill in a form, the charity will call you, they'll create a Just Giving link for you if you need help with a bake sale or whatever it might be, however you want to do it with your community and your friends. They will support you to make that happen. And because you're based in Birmingham and so are they will go above and beyond to make sure it happens for you and to support you. So once again, in the interest of time, my brothers, who will be the first one to encourage the rest for £1,000, £88 a month? Your sadaqah, your zakah, a small event with your family, an iftar, a dinner where you invite all your friends and get them to give £20 each, wherever it may be. Who will be the first one, inshallah, my brothers? Who is going to be the first one that's going to decide, yes, I want to take part? For the second time of asking, my beloved brothers, I need one of you, inshallah. The masjid yesterday, subhanAllah, honestly, I wasn't expecting it, because Burnley can be a very funny place. But in Birmingham, I know that there's at least one of you that has already made your niyyah, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for the waswasa of shaitan to go away before you put your hand up. And the good news is that there's no bailiffs that come knocking on your door. No one's going to be asking you to give money or do this or do that. All it is a niyyah and then hard work, and Allah will do the rest. Who's going to be the first person for £1,000, inshallah, my brothers? Anyone at all willing to put their hand up for this? For the final time of asking, in the interest of time, because I know that Maghrib is drawing near, and alhamdulillah, we have a packed program. Is there anyone, mashallah, one brother from takbir? Allahumma, wallahi, the reason I asked three times is the way another brother at the back, takbir! Keep your hands up, brothers, so the volunteers can come. You know, the reason I always ask three times is, first of all, we know the values of the number three, but also because the way Muslims are, the way Allah has made us, when we notice that the opportunity is slipping away, that's when we step forward. This is why, particularly seeing so many young people in the room, I'm going to ask for one final thing, which is £500 a month for 12 families inside of Lebanon to give them food. £500 a month is £42 a month. I did an event, subhanAllah, in Luton a few months ago, and I spoke to a brother and I told him, I said the exact same I'm going to tell you. £42 a month is one date with your wife in the modern era. That's one meal out. It's true, it's one meal out these days. £42 is nothing. So message your wives now, tell them, can we sacrifice one evening out this month so that the people of Lebanon can have food? And wallahi, the way our sisters are, they will rush to it in a way that you cannot believe. So again, who's going to be the first person, brothers? £42 a month. That's basically a phone contract for the month. One person, inshallah, to motivate the rest. £42 a month to give up one meal, inshallah. For the second time, I'm asking my beloved brothers, is there anyone at all willing to put their hand up for £42 a month? One of your mobile phone contract bills. One simple decision. That's what, £1.10, £1.20 a day? If for those of us that drink coffee or tea or go to Chaiwala, that's literally a tea a day. For the final time of asking, my beloved brothers, who is going to be the first person to raise their hand and say, Ya Allah, I want to be amongst my elders. I've already put their hands up and do something beautiful today. £42 a month. Anyone at all. Ideally, I'm not going to lie, guys, I want one of the youngsters to get involved, because alhamdulillah, our elders know that the time is drawing near, so they always rush forward to do good. But those of us that are younger, we always think we have more time, and we delay and delay when there's good opportunities in front of us. So for the final time, brothers, £42 a month. Anyone at all? Alhamdulillah. The final thing I will say to you in the 58 seconds I have left, £250 will provide 6 families with food inside of Lebanon. 6 families. That works out at £22 a month, £21 a month. £21 a month is, these days, what, a burger a fortnight? £21 a month is less than half our mobile phone bill. £21 a month is something that, subhanAllah, things have gotten so expensive that many of us won't even notice leaving our bank. That's like 60p a day. So again, is there anyone, brothers and sisters, willing to fill in a form to try to raise £250, to fill in a form and give themselves, whether directly today or otherwise? And do you know, subhanAllah, I was speaking to one of the brothers earlier today, and I know what the community here is like from the conversation, and I know that we're the kind of community that doesn't want the left hand to know what the right hand has given. And for this reason, do know that the brothers will be at the back, and if you want to go privately to fill in a form, to give a donation, to keep your zakah, your sadaqah, your lillah, whatever it may be, the opportunity will always be there. The reason I stand here and I ask is because every time you put your hand up, there's a brother next to you who's still listening to shaitan, and he thinks, if he can do it, maybe I can. Maybe I can. So for the first time, brothers and sisters, sorry, that's not true. For the second time, my beloved brothers, £21 a month. Is there anyone going to take part in this, inshallah? And for the final time, my beloved brothers, £21 a month means that 6 families in Lebanon will have food for the entirety of the Hijjah for the month to go. So please, on your way out, do give. For those of you, mashallah, that have already made the niyyah before coming, that, you know, I'm going to donate £20 or £30 or £40 or whatever it is, I want you to be mindful that £40 as a single one-off donation will ensure that a family has food for a month. So £40 will give one family of food. So for those of you that have already made the niyyah to give X, please raise it a little bit. Go to £40, go to £80, £120, whatever you're comfortable with. And know one very important thing that I want every one of you to remember. Sorry, I have gone over time, but just last thing for you, my brothers. I want you to know, and I want you to reflect. Before you leave today, I want you to think and reflect this. Has there ever been a time in your life, wallahi, as Allah is my witness, has there been a time in your life that you gave a donation, that you gave your sadaqah, your zakah, you donated to an orphan, or a sadaqah jariyah, a well somewhere, or food, or whatever it may be, that you regretted it? That Allah didn't replace it in this life? That your reward is not also waiting for you in the hereafter? Any given time in your life? No. And I know that for a fact, because every time I ask and every time someone thinks about it, they know that I have given and I didn't even notice. Allah gave me that money back in ways I didn't know were coming. So please, my brothers, £21 a month if you can at the end, £40 as a one-off, £80, whatever it may be. Thank you so much for giving me the time and allowing me to be here to tell you about Lebanon and allowing me to encourage the brothers to give, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I'm your brother Hayyan with Horizon Management, and we're working with Baraka Charity to bring this event to you, alhamdulillah. I've had the honor of traveling with Sheikh the past couple of days up and down the country for this da'wah purpose and for these events. But a special, special thing just for the people of Walsall today is that we have a very special guest with us who will be beginning the event with the recitation of the Holy Quran, Qari Ayyub Asif. Qari Ayyub Asif is a stranger to nobody in our day and age today, mashallah. He's won first place in various international Quran competitions, such as the Saudi Quran competition, and he's represented Britain in those capacities. Qari Ayyub also recites the Quran in a very unique way and has reached the hearts of millions of Muslims across the world. He completed the Quran at the age of 16 with the Tajweed rules and has mastered Maqamat also. And he's known in Egypt as one of the best and most acclaimed reciters from the UK and as an inspiration to many, many young people across the world. And just before I do call Qari Ayyub onto the front to recite, his father is sat here with us today as well. And Qari Ayyub is such a sadaqah jariya for his father. So I want us all sat here to make dua for Qari Ayyub, for our dear Sheikh Sulaiman, and also for the father of Qari Ayyub. Sheikh Sahib.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إنا أعتدنا للكافرين سلاسل وأغلالا وسعيرا إن الأبرار يا كافورا عيني يشرب بها عباد الله عيني يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إنا نخاف من ربنا إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نضرة وسرورا وجزاهم بما صبروا جنة وحريرا متكئين فيها على الأرائك لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرا ودانية عليهم ظلالها وذللت قطوفها تذليلا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم بسم الله الرحمن وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. What a beautiful recitation of the most beautiful of kalam, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to call upon onto stage to speak to us our dear Shaykh, Shaykh Sulaiman Mullah, who has come all the way from South Africa. For those of us, and I'm sure Shaykh is not a stranger to any one of us here, but for those of us that are new and seeing Shaykh or hearing Shaykh for the first time, Shaykh Sulaiman, he is a highly respected scholar from South Africa, an orator and an author who has traveled the world extensively speaking about and spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an honor that must be for Shaykh. For myself, I've seen Sheikh and I've been with Sheikh for the last few years whenever he is here in the UK. And it's such an honor for me to be in the khidmah and in the company of such esteemed people and scholars. So I make dua for you all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you all the ability to be in the companionship of the ulama ikram. Say Ameen, Muslims. Barakallahu feekum.
Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqal khalqa liya'buduhu wa habbaba ilayhim al-iman liyadhkuruhu wa asbagha alayhim ni'amahu zahiratan wa batinatan liyashkuruhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi alladhina sahibuhu wa nasaruhu ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا صدق الله العظيم. Time is very brief, and mashallah, in addition to the melodious recitation, barakallahu fee, the selection of the passage of the Quran just got me stimulated, and it ties up with the season of Dhul Hijjah and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So one of the outstanding qualities and salient features of the people of Jannah that were described in this recitation, Allah says they are those who don't only honor the constitution of Allah, they definitely do that, but in addition to that, they also honor the vows they make with Allah. So if a person is conscious of honoring the vow he makes, all the more he will honor the covenant with Allah. In a world where people are deficient, inadequate, and mediocre or below, it's remarkable to find someone who can deliver beyond the call of duty. One of the greatest reasons I say of the breakup of marriages today is what? Elevated expectations in an underperforming world. So from the inception, you're setting yourself up for potential disappointment. Was you getting married? I hope so. I think so. I assume so. And none of those things come to fruition. So you're on the back foot from the beginning. Allah frowns upon those people, and there's no lack of them today in the world, who are quick to claim their right, but very slow to deliver the due upon them. There are two chapters in the Quran that commence with wail. Suratani fil Quran bada'at bil wail. Ihdahuma fi amwalin nas wa thani fi a'radin nas. Two chapters in the Quran commence with a curse. It's a strong. It could either refer to a pit in hell, or it equates a curse. Woe be to such a person. One speaks about those who attack the honor of people. May Allah save us. You know, attacking this one, attacking that one. Nigahe ayat giri se jo dekha ahle alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasik, koi zindik akbar ta. Nigahe ayat giri se jo dekha ahle alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasik, koi zindik akbar ta. Magar jab ho gaya dil ihtisab nafs pe mail, hua thabit ke har farzand adam mujhse behtar ta. When I looked at everyone with the critical eye, microscopically, oh, he's belligerent, oh, he's ignorant, oh, he's arrogant, oh, he's haughty. So I became oblivious of my own stench. But then for a moment I decided to pause and I looked at myself. Lo and behold, there was such a foul smell emitting from myself that I realized everywhere else there's only fragrance. نتی اپنے عیبوں پہ جب نظر نتی اپنے عیبوں پہ جب نظر رہے دیکھتے اوروں کے عیب و ہنر نتی اپنے عیبوں پہ جب نظر. For as long as I was oblivious of my own folly, deficiency, I kept on finding time to look at the faults of others. پری اپنی برائی پہ جو نظر تو جہاں میں کوئی برا نہ رہا تو جہاں میں کوئی برا نہ رہا. But when the gaze fell on my own, I couldn't find any other person who was sinful. So Allah says, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe be to those who are fraudulent. How does Allah speak of their fraudulent dealings? الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون. When they have to claim, bro, you owe me. So many hours I gave you. So many pounds you owe me. So much assets you owe me. The Quran principally doesn't frown on yastawfoon. But when the Quran contrasts it to say that you're quick to request what is owed to you, but you lag when it comes to giving what you owe to others. This is now where it becomes an evil trait. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when it's time to pay back who you owe, you know, when people owe us money, we say, hey brother, there's qiyamah. When you owe people money also, brother, there's qiyamah. Qiyamah is not only when somebody is owing you. How does Allah respond to this? How does Allah reproach such people? Allah says it can only be that momentarily you forgot about your interview with your Lord. That's the only way. A person can only be fraudulent in his dealings and be deficient. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. One of the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the focus of our tour, Allah says, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. And Ibrahim was a man who delivered, who gave additional, who gave surplus, atamma, concluded, fulfilled. And that's my message. Go the extra mile. Honor your covenant with Allah. Honor your agreement with Allah. In English, there's a proverb: many a vows made in storm are forgotten in calm. Many a vows made in storm, stormy waters, it could be literal or figurative. Things are just أَرَاعِلَ لَلْدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had sung these couplets after the demise of Fatima radiallahu anha, where obviously he lost the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and 6 months later his spouse and his partner Fatima radiallahu anha. أَرَاعِلَ لَلْدُّنْيَا عَلَيَّ كَثِيرًا. I see the trials of the world mounting upon me. وَصَاحِبُهَا حَتَّى الْمَمَاتِ عَلِيلُ. And the truth be told, a person is gripped in challenges, in trials, till the last breath. Between the union of every two, there is separation. وَأَنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَدُومَ خَلِيلُ. وَأَنَّ افْتِقَادِي فَاطِمًا بَعْدَ أَحْمَدٍ. And the fact that I had to bid farewell to my Fatima so quickly, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who's here to stay? Nobody's here to stay. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. So, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran says, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Now I was saying to you, many a times you make a vow to Allah when things are tough, child is sick, situation is precarious, boy has succumbed to some substance abuse, there's some blood results that are pending. Preliminary reports suggest there could be some cancerous cells. You are really screaming out to Allah. وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّا فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. Allah says, when you're in the center of the ocean and then you're gripped by these waves and high tides, and now you know it's only Allah. ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ غَابَ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ. You forget anyone and everyone but Allah. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. Then He takes you to shore. He takes you to shelter. He moves you from ICU into general ward. If I have to give context to this here. Right? So like in ICU, you think Malakul Maut is, you know, patrolling. I'm getting missed calls from the angel of death. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. But when He takes you to the shelter or He relocates you to a general ward, أَعْرَضْتُمْ. You turn your back at me. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. If I have to paraphrase this, it's not the first time you've done this. You always do this. You always do this. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Then what does Allah say? After I've cured him, rescued him, granted him deliverance, مَرَّ كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى ظُرِّمْ مَسَّهُ. He walks away as though I had nothing to do with his cure. The beautiful passage we heard, and we enjoyed the melodious recitation. One of the qualities to become the people of Jannah who will enjoy this year is yufuna bin nadr. They honor their vows with Allah. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ عَلَى حُبِّ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّ اللَّهِ. They feed people. You heard the appeal. You heard the call to alleviate the hunger of someone. Allah says they feed despite they love the food themselves. Or يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ. They feed on the love that they have for Allah. مِسْكِينًا, the poor. يَتِيمًا, the orphan. Asira, the captive. And then their body language is so humble. Their body language is so humble. A person came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, I have a need. I've asked Allah first and now I'm asking you. So look at the humility of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, write it down there and communicate your question to me or your need to me. Inni akrahu an ara dhulla su'ali fi wajhik. I don't like a person to directly beg me. إِنَّ الَّذِي أَنْتَ تَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ إِنَّ الَّذِي أَنْتَ تَرْجُوهُ مِنَ الْبَرِيَّةِ مِسْكِينُ بْنُ مِسْكِينِ. You asking me, I'm asking him, he's asking there. Why ask direct? So please don't. Look at their humility. May Allah grant us that humility. Sometimes Allah puts you in a position of authority. One of the most difficult things to manage is the position of authority. Very few survive the test of authority. إِذَا دَعَتْكَ قُدْرَتُكَ عَلَى ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ فَتَذَكَّرْ قُدْرَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Luqman Hakim said, oh my son, when you find yourself in position and fame. Fame, if you don't manage it, it becomes a flame and it burns the celebrity before anyone else. It's very dangerous. I've said it 1,000 times. I envy my audience more than myself. Why? Because rarely do people listen to the talk for wrong reasons, and rarely do the speaker speak for right reasons. So I don't envy myself, but you cannot move away from it. You cannot move away from it. The ulama say, it's going to be academic, leave it, time is running out. Abdullah is going to tell me why. Often we make a vow to Allah. Allah's given you a position of authority. فَاحْذَرْ زَوَالَ الْفَضْلِ يَا جَابِرْ وَأَعْطِ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ مَنْ سَأَلَهَا فَإِنَّ ذَا الْعَرْشِ جَزِيلُ الْعَطَى يُضَعِّفُ بِالْحَبَّةِ أَمْثَالَهَا وَكَمْ رَأَيْنَا مِنْ ذَوِي ثَرْوَةٍ لَمْ يَقْبَلُوا بِالشُّكْرِ إِقْبَالَهَا تَاهُوا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا وَقَيَّدُوا بِالْبُخْلِ أَنْفُسَهَا. If you want to preserve what Allah gave you, then the rent you pay is to continue passing it on to others. That's the rent you pay. And if you pay that, you only secure what you have. Study all the pious of the past. Everyone constantly feared that Allah can seize and snatch what He gave him. If you feel what you have belongs to you, and you are anchored and you are secured, then I'm afraid that's hypocrisy screaming in you. That's hypocrisy screaming. No. إنما أوتيته على علم عندي أولم يعلم أن الله قد أهلك من قبله من القرون من هو أشد منه قوة. What intellect? What do you have? ولئن شئنا لنذهبن بالذي أوحينا إليك. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can withhold the revelation we gave you. فيه أشد الخوف على سلبي ما رزق أحد من النسبة والكمال. كيف ولا أحد أعز على الله تعالى من حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما خوطب بهذا فأين غيره منه إذا كان هذا شأن سيد الراسخين فكيف بك يا مسكين. Allah is telling the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I can withhold, and of course that's a message to us. So if Allah has given us wealth, it's an amana from Allah. Allah said to someone who can write, you're a scribe. وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبُ أَنْ يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهِ فَلْيَكْتُبُ. You know how to write? Help people. Preserve your literacy. Transmit it. In that Allah will give you blessings. You got wealth, pass it on. It's an amana. Allah's put you in a position of preference. The preservation of that is to pass it on. We're talking about the aspect of waffa. I want to share two quick incidents because time is really against us here. So often when we make the vow, circumstances change. And when circumstances change, then we shy away from our pledge. But that's the time to really honor it. And then you see how Allah blesses you. So the mother of Maryam, her name was Hannah, as mentioned by the scholars of tafsir. Her father was Imran. Allah speaks about this in the Quran, right? In chapter 3 in Surah Ali Imran. And that's the wajhu tasmiyah. Tasmiyatul kulbi ismil ba'd. So the mother of Maryam, radiyallahu anha, her name was Hannah, the wife of Imran. She vowed to Allah, "Allah, I got a baby. I'm going to give this baby to you." We busy debating and negotiating at the Maghrib Adhan in Ramadan if we put in another bite in the mouth or not, or we'll make it for the rakat or not. You're making vows of an unborn baby. Today people take out policies for the unborn baby. Medical policies, cover, insurance and everything. Child is not yet born. Taking out that. This is the child has been vowed and offered to Allah from conception. First of the Quran. إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانِ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي. I'm saying the verse we heard, it just stimulated me in a very different direction. And it ties up with our theme and our appeal to give. And I urge you, as you're leaving out, the brothers are there, make your donation. You know, that whisper comes in, tap into it. Entertain a good thought as a good visitor. A bad thought as a bad visitor. Dispel a bad thought so that it doesn't return. And develop on a good thought. When it's coming, don't suppress it. That's the thing you need to accommodate, so that those good thoughts will continue coming. Because humans, by their very anatomy, they have both the whispers. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا يَخَاكِ أَبْنِي فِطْرَتْ مِنْ نَنُورِهَا نَنَارِ. You have both those whispers. So Imran was the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa. Imran, the father of Maryam radiyallahu anha, was the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa. And her mother had made this vow. And while the mother was pregnant, her husband passed away, similar to that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was doing relief work in East Africa, in Kenya. There was a Qaryatul Aitam, a village of orphans. And as we went inside there, a little orphan came out by the age of 6. His name was Muhammad. So I put my hand gently on him. They told us all are orphans. So I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Muhammad. And I'm also like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have parents." A lump in my throat. Tears in my eyes. I lost my balance. Wallahi, billahi, tallahi. I made an appeal there. The cameraman was there. I said, "Here's a boy who's telling me his name is Muhammad, similar to that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't have parents. Who's going to sponsor this orphan to go to Medina?" Imagine when he stands at the Rawda and he stands and he conveys salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would be that feeling? What would be that emotion? And alhamdulillah, brothers responded in their numbers. And the ummah has amazing talent. The ummah has amazing talent. We of course are here to, you know what, nudge each other and give that stimulation and motivation. So Imran passed away, alayhi salam, radiyallahu anhu. And Maryam radiyallahu anha's mom Hannah then carried Maryam till the complete period, with the hope that the child will be a male and she will offer him. And back in the time, they would donate or offer their child to the cause of deen. Like you have zakatul mal, zakatul awlad. Not literally in that sense, if you understand what I mean. Like not... But like, you know what, handing your child over to the service of deen and freeing him or her from all the needs. And how good, how great it would be if Allah has given you wealth. You've taken one in the business, you've taken one in the empire, you've taken one in the family this year. Subhanallah, free one. That's your investment, that's your akhirah. There were two brothers. One was serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and one was working. So the one who used to work, shakal muhtarifu ila Rasulillah. He came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "I'm working, I'm toiling, I'm laboring." Authentic hadith. "My brother is sitting with you all the time." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "The money you're making is because he's sitting with me. La'allaka turzaqu bihi. La'allaka turzaqu bihi. The money you are making is because he's sitting with you." Wallahi, we don't understand the blessings That little donation you gave, we were doing relief work in Albania, Elbasan. I'll never forget it. We were coming back. Two things, I've mentioned it often. We passed by one classroom and they said, there's an orphanage here. The charity is running an orphanage. Would you go in there? I'm like, yeah, let's go in. On the way back. And that became the highlight of the trip. And so we enter the classroom. There's children there. And then there's a teacher there. They said, who's going to speak to the sheikh and tell them about the benefit of the charity and the work that they're doing here? So there was a young girl, probably 10, 11 years old. She said, I speak broken English. I said, please, kindness is a language. The blind can see, the deaf can hear. Go with kindness in the world. Touch hearts. Leave a mark. Don't leave a scar. Rub a hand. Just revive people. The Ummah is taking so much strain. The Ummah is taking so much stress. Go bring a smile on people. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stood the whole night. He just heard the child crying. So he went to the mother and he said, please, can you lull your child? She said, okay. She didn't know this is Umar. After a little while, Umar goes back. He says, Araki Umma Su'in. I mean, you look like a strange woman. Your child is crying, you know. Put your child off. You know when you're flying, especially in your business cabin, and then a child starts crying, how eyes turn. Like, did you pay for the ticket? You're disturbing the whole. Like, you know what? I want a refund. Apna bachcha roye, to dil mein dard. Aur kisi aur ka bachcha roye, to sar mein dard. Apna bachcha roye, to yaar, you don't see that guy. You fell off to sleep. You got up. He's rocking, boy. Oh, fatherhood at its best in that flight. 14-hour long haul. This guy's rocking and pacing the aisles. You slept. You got up and. You know, and the worst thing is sometimes I even say to this cabin crew, I know there's protocol, but don't lose the human touch. It took that mother 3 hours to lull the child and put the child in the bassinet. And just when the child now falls off to sleep, oh, we are passing turbulence, please remove your children from the bassinet. No, man, no. No, man. Really, I appreciate protocol, I understand aviation, I understand security, but... Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu said, what's it, oh sister? She said, I'm trying to wean him off. Because Umar only gives an allowance for a child that's weaned off, and I need the money. لِأَنَّ عُمَرْ لَا يَفْرَضْ إِلَّا لِلْفَطِيمِ. So I'm trying to wean my child off. You don't potty train your child when you're traveling unless you're desperate. So he said, لَا تَعْجِلِي, sister, don't do that in the cover of night. Don't do that. Just relax and keep on giving milk. Then he came back and he's sobbing. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, that was the one fajr I read behind Umar. There was less recitation and more crying. فَمَا يَسْتَبِينُ النَّاسُ قِرَاءَتَهُ مِنْ كَثْرَةِ الْبُكَى. He was just sobbing and, like, what have I done? Then he stood up and he said, بُعْسًا لَكَ يَا عُمَرْ كَمْ قَتَلْتَ مِنْ أَوْلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Umar, Umar, but that was so short-sighted on you. Could you have not thought the process correctly? Could you have not applied your mind? And then ثُمَّ كَتَبَ إِلَى الْآفَاقِ. He amended the law that now the state will provide an allowance for every child. Today in the world, when there's a catastrophe, you'll have a pledge from a country that they will send funds. The funds won't come and the second catastrophe will hit. I was doing relief work in one country, and so we were a few NGOs that were discussing, and the one said, yeah, you know, but the government hasn't helped. And the brother said, as long as they don't stop your help, be happy. As long as they don't stop what you bring in, just be grateful. This was when the heart was conscious. So anyway, come back to this here. Time is up here. I won't be able to go into the second incident. She then delivers her child. Now imagine the emotion of this mother. That is the mother of Maryam. She had vowed to give this child to Baytul Maqdis. And her husband was alive. By the will of Allah, her husband passed on. You made a vow to give Allah money. You know, it's so easy to say, Allah, if you give me, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. It's so easy to make the claim. And then Allah gives you, and Allah blesses you, and Allah gives you in abundance. And suddenly, يَقْبِضُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. The fist becomes tight and you're restricting and you're holding back. You're holding back. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, I don't need anything from you. I'm doing you a favor by giving you an opportunity to earn Jannah for yourself. Be wise to offer the best. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا I will end with this incident. When she delivers the child, knowing that the child is born as an orphan. So in the teachings of Islam, you are an orphan when you don't have a father. We need to understand that. So if you don't have, and that makes us understand the role of a father. Today in the world, fathers are excluded. Fathers are not given that recognition. You know, I always say, Islam condemns misogyny and misandry. Misogyny is the inherent bias against women, and misandry is the inherent bias against men. Many people don't even know the word misandry. Oh, okay, is there a term like that? Oh, well, it's practice, in case you don't know there's a term. Islam teaches you respect both. Honor your mother, honor your father. I always say to sisters, a man, Allah has given him the ability to deal with stress in the whole world, but not at home. Don't give him stress at home. If it's in the camera, let me look directly here. Don't give him stress at home, my sister. He will deal with politics, with turbulence, with traffic, with fluctuations, with economy. He will deal with the world. This man is not designed to come home to stress. Allah's designed you when he comes home, embrace him, cheer him. If you give him an embrace, there's something else to that. There's something else to that. Appreciate this. This is a great act of ibadah. She gives birth to her child. Her husband is late. Rabbi inni wada'tuha untha. Allah, it's a girl. Wallahu a'lamu bima wada'at. Allah knew it was a girl. You talk of embryology and you talk of the scan. In one verse, Allah explains all the embryo development fluctuation of that fetus. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha wa ma taghidhu al-arham wa ma tazdad wa ma taghidhu al-arham wa ma tazdad. Experts on the exegesis of the Quran say it encompasses every development of that fetus at every level. Whatever you're talking at this point here, you know what? The heart has been developed, or the lung has been developed, or the hands. Ma taghid, whatever addition. Ma tazdad, whatever subtraction. It encompasses. And ma, if you look at the umum in linguists, it covers everything. Oh, Allah, it's a girl. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ الَّذِي طَلَبْتِ كَالْأُنْثَى الَّتِي وُهِبْتِ. You were asking for a girl. You were asking for a boy. But the girl Allah gave you, no boy can match. No boy can match. Allah's decisions are perfect. She then wrapped her child, according to the tafsir of Baydawi, fi khirqah. And then she honored her vow. Despite the fact that this child's father was late, and despite the fact that she had made a vow for a boy, and Allah blessed her with a girl, and this honor then came to Zakaria alayhi salam. And hence, you've been to Aqsa, Allah's allowed me, the imams had even opened up the mihrab of Maryam for me, and I had the privilege of going there. Kullama dakhala alayha Zakariya al-mihrab, that she was nursed there and she was nurtured there. My message is that to become the friend of Allah, in the description of the people of Jannah, Aynan, a spring, Yashrabu, they will drink, Ibadullah, the friends of Allah, Yufajjirunaha tafjira. Tafsir Uthmani, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani says, Fajjara yufajjiru tafjir means to divert. One of the privileges of Jannah is you'll have access to divert and direct your river at your discretion. You know, sometimes you're sitting in a talk and you don't have a good view, you almost want to move the speaker. Or you have somebody obscuring you from the back, you know, virtually. Or you have, they tell you sea view, but then when you get up to the hotel, it's not like a sea view, it's like a see what you want to see. It's a corner, you know, a very like forced, no. Yufajjirunaha tafjira. You will have the choice to move your river at your own discretion. فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسٍ وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. May Allah bless you all. Be sure to donate. May Allah make us amongst those fortunate people who honor our covenant with Allah and who honor the vows we've made with Allah. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ.
Assalamu alaikum. Just a couple of quick announcements before the adhan. Mashallah, first and foremost, jazakallah khairan to Mufti Sahib for his beautiful words of advice again, mashallah, and for gracing us with his presence, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed. Tomorrow night as well, we've got another program in the masjid, inshallah, after Salatul Asr at 8 o'clock. We've got Sheikh Suleiman bin Yusuf Bulbul, who used to be from Leicester, now lives in Makkah, and inshallah he'll be giving us a spiritual talk on Makkah that many of us will not have heard before. So tomorrow, that is after Asr, inshallah. And then the other announcement is on Friday we have a special program, a community program regarding Palfrey Community Health Center. As many of you will be aware, the old Dr. Siddiq Siddiq's surgery, which is on the corner of Wensbury Road and Bescot Crescent, has been proposed to move to town, to the walk-in centre. That's going to be difficult for many of our elders who are here, who are obviously members of that surgery, or use that surgery. So there is a public consultation. So inshallah, the consultation for the sisters will take place between 10:30 and 12:30 at 113 Wensbury Road, which is on the corner of Wensbury Road and Milton Street. So that will be between 10:30 and 12:30 this Friday morning, inshallah, for sisters. And then from the brothers, inshallah, it will be after 2 o'clock, after Jummah Salah, till 3 or 3:30. And that will be in the multi-purpose room at the back of the masjid, inshallah. And that's a consultation for the movement of the surgery, Dr. Siddiq surgery, which is a Palfrey Health Center, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
And just a reminder for the brothers who are blocking other cars, you're requested, as soon as you pray your Farz Salah, to please unblock the entrances to the car parks, inshallah. Just have consideration for your other brothers who are parked. And just a reminder, the consultation that's happening regarding the Palfrey Health Centre, They're moving it to the Sadler's Walking Center, which is in the town center. So we've organized by Mazil Farooq and UMO have arranged a drop-in session with the NHS Black Country. That's this Friday. So that's between 10:30 and 12:30 for the sisters at 113. And inshallah for the brothers, it will be at the back of the masjid in a multi-purpose room after 2 o'clock till 3:30. And that's for the patients of Palfrey Health Center. And then one final announcement, inshallah, on Saturday evening after Asr Salah, we will be having a special program with some of the doctors who've just returned from Sudan a couple of weeks ago. Inshallah, they'll be giving us a first-hand account of what they got up to and what the situation in Sudan is like, inshallah.
So focus your skull straight in your rows. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Salam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ربنا حمدنا وازواجنا وضرياتنا اللهم اشفينا واشف مرضانا والمسلمين بسمك ونحمدك يا لا إله إلا الله
Thank you.